God himself, the Lamb.
Let's begin by reading from Genesis, the 11th chapter, verses 27 through 32. The Bible says this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. This is the Bible's introduction to the man called Abram. We learn here a little bit of Abram's origin story, but what we'll find out later in the scripture is that at this time, Abram was already at the ripe old age of 75 years old. So this brings up some interesting questions, like where did Abram come from? And why did God call him when he was in a far-off distant land in Ur of the Chaldeans? We're going to try to answer these questions to the best of our ability in today's lesson, Where Did Abram Come From?
Provide himself a lamb, the only sacrifice that sin demands, just as he proved to Abraham. He would provide himself a lamb. Behold the Lamb, God himself, the Lamb.
Understanding the context of the end of Genesis 11 is vitally important if we're going to understand why the Bible shifts its focus entirely on Abram for the next many chapters, and indeed the rest of the book of Genesis. The beginning of the book of Genesis notes the creation of mankind and Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. After that, in chapter 4, we learn of the sin of Cain murdering his brother Abel, and then the flood during the days of Noah. After the floodwaters receded, God instructed Noah's descendants, just as he had instructed Adam and Eve, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. But what we learn in Genesis 10 and 11 is that the descendants of Noah did not fulfill that divine prerogative. Instead of spreading out and encompassing the whole planet, they stayed together. And the apex of their rebellion against God is noted in Genesis 11 when the Tower of Babel is constructed. The Bible tells us that they built this tower to make a name for themselves, to make their names great. And it seemed that they were trying to reach up to heaven, but to do so without God. This is sort of like a prototype of the famous ziggurats of the East, where idolatry was so commonplace. And so this rebellion against God brought the Lord to a place where he came down to do for himself what the people were unwilling to do. At the Tower of Babel, God descended, he scattered the people and confused their language. And in this place, it's almost as if God was disbanding the nations into their land and then leaving them to their own devices. And after that, the Bible focuses on a very important genealogy. Now, genealogies are kind of boring. There's a lot of difficult names to read, but they have a very prominent and important role in the Bible. And this genealogy in particular follows one of the sons of Noah named Shem. Shem, Ham, and Japheth were the three sons of Noah. And you remember back in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve's sin, that God made a promise. One day, through the seed of woman, a man would be born who would destroy the power of the devil. Well, the emphasis on the line of Shem in Genesis 11 is to trace the fulfillment of that promise down to the eventual person who would come, we later learn to be Jesus Christ. So this genealogy of Shem's line is important, and it culminates at the end of Genesis 11 with the introduction of a man named Terah. Terah is a descendant of Shem. He's a Shemite. That's where the word Semite comes from. He's also a Hebrew. In that genealogical line, you have a man named Eber. That's probably where the word Hebrew comes from. And Terah, we're told, has three sons. Their names are Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, when we meet this family, they're living in a distant land in Ur of the Chaldeans. The word Chaldean is another word for Babylonian. Ur was one of the many city-states located in the region of the ancient Sumerian Empire. It's out in modern-day Iraq across the Euphrates River. And Ur at this time was a bustling metropolis filled with trade and commerce. And it's likely that Terah was not originally from this region. There are other parts in the Bible where Terah's family are identified as Arameans. Aramean is another word for Syrian. And Syria is on the other side, the western side of the Euphrates River, closer to the land of Canaan. So Terah was probably not ethnically from this region. Rather, what's more likely the case is that at some point during Terah's life, he decided to move his family east to a place where he could conduct business and grow his business and make some money and do well and prosper. So Terah takes his family east to Ur, and he has sons, whether these sons were all born there or some were born back in Aramea in Syria. It's unclear with certainty. Haran, one of the sons, definitely was born in Ur. We learn that in verse number 28. Haran was born in Ur and also died there. Haran is the father of Lot. So we first encounter this family in Ur, but they're probably not originally from this area. Now, when God appears to Abram, we'll study this in our next lesson, he calls him to leave this location. And what the family does is they answer the call of God, they pack up all of their goods, and they start to make their journey westward toward the land of Canaan. And we're told that along the way, after they cross the Euphrates River and they come to Syria, which is north of modern-day Israel, or the land of Canaan, as it's called in this time, when they come there, they come upon the city of Haran. Now, if the word Haran sounds familiar, it should. One of Abram's sons was evidently named after this city. Haran is probably the ancestral homeland of Terah's family. And when they journey to this region, to Haran, they stop there for a time. We don't know how long they dwelt in Haran, and Bible commentators and scholars debate about why they made this pit stop. I think probably the simplest explanation is sort of what we're told in the Genesis account and later confirmed by Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and that is simply that Terah was old. He was 205 years old. And perhaps this was as far as he could go on the journey. By the time they made this great journey from Ur all the way to Haran, maybe Terah became sickly. And they stopped out of mercy and compassion for their aged father. And the Bible says that there in Haran, he died. And his two remaining sons, Abram and Nahor, buried their father in their ancestral homeland. From there, Abram will adopt his nephew, Lot, whose father had died, and continue the journey south towards the land that God was going to show him. Now, there's one other bit of information that's given at the end of Genesis 11 that we need to highlight before we conclude this lesson. And it's recorded in verse 30. When we're introduced to the family members of Terah's household, we're told that Abram's wife, Sarai, was barren. She had no child. Notice the parallelism there. She was barren and had no children. Now, this at first might just seem like an inexplicable personal piece of information included in the biblical account, but this is a tension point. And it will become very clear why this verse is included when we get to our next study at the beginning of chapter 12. And so for now, just remember that. When we're introduced to Abraham and Sarah, as they'll later be called, Abraham is already 75 years old, Sarah 10 years younger, she's 65. And all of their married life, however long they had been together, they were unable to have any children. And this becomes pivotally important when we look at what God promises Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. So, where did Abram come from? Well, when we first meet him, he's off in the land of the Babylonians, a land of idolatry and iniquity, far from God. He may have been faithful all of his life, 75 years on the earth before. We're not really told. We know Terah, his father, was an idolater. But in this strange and foreign land, God calls him out, tells him to come to a new land, a land of promise. And we'll continue in that great journey with him in our next study. Thanks so much for watching.
Although Abraham could not understand how God in his great love could ask him for the only son he had. Yet when it seemed to him all hope was dim, his faith, this promise.